turn with us over the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. You say, why is it called the Revelation, preacher? Because Jesus showed John something. He wrote it down to inform us. In Revelation chapter number 3, starting in verse number 7 today. For the Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, amen. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I've loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God. Lord, how my heart has been reminded this morning of how good you've been to me. God, one day you saved me, called me out of this old world and put me in your world, and I'm thankful for that and ever indebted to your goodness and grace. Touch these that we've mentioned today and help them. God, help our nation today and our president. God, our community and our homes and our church. Help me to be faithful to you preaching this morning. I pray you'd help me and use me to be a blessing to the people of God. Touch our hearts now, and we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach out of this text this morning of Revelation 3, and I want to deal with this verse in particularly for a title in verse number 8. He says that no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. You've kept my word and hath not denied my name. I want to preach on this simple subject today, on faint but faithful. Faint but faithful. We see here in the writings of the Word of God that Jesus is writing to a church that went through great persecution. They were not of this world. And I want to remind you, the church has never been intended to look like the world or act like the world or to be of the world. For Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Are you getting the picture now? What we've seen going on in America and the chaos that's happening in our country, I wonder, do you get the picture now? Come out from among them and be ye separate. This morning, Jesus was riding to a church that seemed like they had only a little bit of strength left. They found themselves in a great crisis. They found themselves in great persecution. I am convinced that if I've ever stood before a congregation to tell you what I think, I'm going to tell you what I think this morning. The church is fixing to come under a persecution like she's never seen. Like she's never seen. There's a lot of folks here in our assembly today. You're faint in heart. You're weak in strength. Aren't you glad that Jesus is very aware of where we all stand this morning? I'm glad as these two have sung the song to remind us how faithful God really is. But here in this text, preaching today, faint but faithful, I want to say, first of all, notice this assembly that he wrote to in verse 7. This assembly that he wrote to, he said, the angel of the church of Philadelphia. That word Philadelphia simply means brotherly love. We're not to love the world nor the things of the world, but we are to love mankind. There's a young man showed me something on the iPhone this morning that is so true. The Christian is to be salt. We're not to be sugar. We are to make a difference. Amen. But in that process, we are to love God, love one another, and love the souls of mankind. We are not to love the wickedness and the devices of this old world. And here Jesus, in this assembly, we see this messenger. First of all, he wrote it to his angel. That simply means in the Greek, messenger. He was writing to that local pastor. All seven of these churches in the book of Revelation, they were all addressed to that angel or that messenger. You see, God's got to give the man of God something before he can give it to the assembly. I'm glad there's still some men of God around that can get some things out of the corn of heaven and give to God's people in this day and this hour. We see within this assembly, we see this messenger. And then we see its members. Notice this. He said, and to the angel of the church, that's you and I, the blood-washed band that's been called out of this old world. I'm glad this world ain't my home. So we see in this assembly, this messenger, we see its members. But, of course, when we see this emphasis on a mention, he said, of Philadelphia, brotherly love. Can I tell you, we need each other this morning. Oh, how we need each other. I penned this down today that I want to read it to you about the trials and the crises of life. You see, usefulness for God to use you and for God to use me. It often depends upon a wise and prayerful observation of times and seasons. You see, pains and self-questionings and these endurance of our insufficiencies, many times we find ourselves with a little strength. It seems that we might not have the fire and the vigor and the strength that we used to have. But I'm going to tell you, if God is in it, great things can happen for you in your life. He simply said this, you have just a little strength. You feel like that you're not as strong as you once were. Jesus is writing in this church and they were suffering great consequences and persecutions. But he writes this to remind them that he knows where they are. Can I tell you, Jesus knows where you are this morning. So we see in this faint but faithful, this assembly, but then we see this appearance in verse number 7. He simply says, these things saith he that is holy. He that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man opens. His appearance, first of all, we see his character. I want to remind you today, he's holy. There's nobody like him. We see that these things said he that is holy. He's not trying to be holy. He's not trying to gain more holiness. He is holy. He is holy. Holy, holy is the Lord. And we see in this great appearance, we see His character. He is holy. You know, when character is right, conduct is right. When character is right, conduct will be right. His character is holy and He can do no wrong this morning. I'm going to say He allows things to happen that I don't understand, but I'm never encouraged in my Bible to understand, but just to trust. This morning, faint but faithful. We see His appearance, His character, His conduct. Look what He says. He that is holy. And watch what it says. And he that is true. In Him is no variableness of turning. He's the same day in and day out. He's what He is in the light as He is in darkness. For He lights the darkness of the world. Can I tell you today His appearance, His character, His conduct. But look about His control. He simply says this. And he that hath the key of David. Other words, He owns the storehouse of heaven. I'm glad I know the one that holds the keys this morning. Matter of fact, one day the devil thought he'd get the keys away from Jesus, but he got kicked out of heaven and a third of them angels fell with him. And Jesus has the key this morning. Oh, aren't you glad He could unlock the storehouse over you? Aren't you glad that He can unlock things that nobody else can open? Oh, His appearance. He give us a little glimpse of who He is. And I'm going to tell you something. In our trials, in our situation, it always does us good to see really who He is. He's holy. And He's true. He makes no mistakes. He's loyal to His people. The Bible simply says not only about His character and His conduct, but His control. He has the key of David. Aren't you glad the Lord's not sitting on the throne wondering and wishing and hoping what He could do? But He's the sovereign God that sits on the throne by Himself that needs nobody to prop Him up. For He is God all by Himself this morning. God is amazing. Aren't you glad that He loved you? Aren't you glad that the God of this Bible that lives in me and you can go with you and go with me? And He said, I will never leave you. His character, He's holy. This assembly, this appearance. But look in verse 8 now at His approval. He says something that you may wonder why He said it. He said, I know your works. And behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. His approval. We see, first of all, His wisdom. He knows all about it. Not only His wisdom, but His watch. He said, you know what? I'm watching everything that you're doing and I'm writing everything down for your account. A lot of times people think that you're doing something and it goes unnoticed. I want to remind you, Jesus knows everything that we're doing. You know, it's great to pastor people that don't have to be put up on a stage and the band play for them. They just faithful. You know, we ought to thank God that we go to a church where the Lord Jesus is exalted and the Bible's still preached in the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. This morning, Jesus identifies Himself to this church and He said, yet though you are very weak, I want you to know I am watching what you're doing. And not only is He watching, He's with us. He says, you've got just a little strength. But He says, you know, when you've got just a little strength, I can take your nothing and your littleness and do something like you've never seen before. Matter of fact, we see this assembly and this appearance, this approval. But look in verse 8 at His assistance. He says, behold, I've set before thee an open door. And He says, I want you to know no man can shut it. No man can open it but just me. I sure am glad we have His assistance this morning. Behold, I have set. Now, look at His priority that He says in verse number 8. He uses a word here, behold. Verse 8, He says, I know thy works. Behold, He says this again in verse number 9. He says, and behold. Then look in verse 11 about this priority. He said, behold, I come quickly. Anybody tell you Jesus was coming? He's still coming. You know why He's coming? Because He said He was. He said, behold. In other words, I need to get your attention about this. Behold, I come quickly. So we see His assistance. But then look in verse 8, we see His great allegiance. He said this. He simply said, you've not denied my name. You've kept my word. Oh, this allegiance. You say, well, preacher, what was this church doing? And during this time that we are experiencing in our lives, what are we to be doing in a New Testament church? Can I tell you, as Jesus, He commended this church. He had no rebuke for this church. Even though they had a little strength left, He said, I can take your littleness and do big things with it like you never imagined. I'm going to tell you the problem. Many times we've had way too much. We've been way too strong. And the Lord couldn't use us to do nothing. But I notice this, when the Lord breaks us down and we become weak, then He becomes strong. Some of you saying this morning, oh, I need to straighten my family out. You're not strong enough. Oh, I need to straighten my life out. You're not strong enough. Oh, we need to straighten America. We're not strong enough. But I come to tell you who is strong enough this morning. Now let's look at what they did. It's very important we understand this. In verse number 8, they were situated at the house of God. In other words, they were just simply faithful. He said, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word, and you've not denied my name. They were situated at the house of God. I want to encourage you families to get situated at the house of God. I know in the day and hour we live, there's many watching by Facebook this morning that cannot be here. But they're tuned in. Don't disconnect from the church. The worst day in anybody's life that's ever happened is when they've disconnected from the church, and it always, through this Bible, leads to destruction. You say, well, preacher, my children aren't getting nothing. They're getting more than what you know they're getting. You're getting more than what you know you're getting. This morning, they were simply situated at the house of God, the church at Philadelphia. Look in verse 8. They were saturated with the Word of God. He said, thou hast kept my Word. Psalmist David said, I've hid the Word in my heart. This morning I want to encourage you every day to try to get in the Word of God at some place, some time that day. You've got to make time to have time. Get you a few scriptures. Let them go in your heart for the day. Some of you ladies, I know you have morning devotions. That's great, long as it's scriptural. Get in and read scripture. Oh my goodness, they were connected to the Word of God. You know the Word does matter. I'm glad we've got a talking book this morning. Does this Bible ever talk to you? It's amazing to me how I can open the pages sometimes and what is written in this book that stands up like chalk letters to me and goes in my heart. You see, today, their allegiance, they were situated at the house of God. They was saturated at the Word of God. And then verse 8, I want to say this, they was dedicated to the Son of God. He said, you've not denied my name. He said, when everybody else is making fun of you and everybody's talking about you and nobody else was serving me, he said, you didn't deny my name. You know, don't you think, really, you think about this just a minute. I don't know if I've ever said this or not preaching, but I want to say this. Don't you think the Lord appreciates it when we stand up for His name? When we come together as a church, we're here together today to worship Him. We set apart this time every week in our lives to honor Christ the first day of the week. Don't you think that it makes Him feel good that His children respect Him and never deny His name? He loves to be lifted. You know why He loves to be lifted? Because He's the only one who deserves to be lifted. He's high and holy. He can do no wrong. There's been many times in my life I said, God, why? It's okay to say why. The Son of God said, why on the cross? Don't let somebody tell you it's wrong to say why. But me and you may never know why. But we know this, there's a holy God in heaven that makes no mistakes, that's still on His throne this morning. And I've noticed this in my disappointed, in all of my disappointments, in the hour that I was crushed and devastated, when I look back, now I can see many times why that happened. I couldn't see it right then. But I can see some things now. And I want to say today, may our church stay steadfast at the work of God. You say, preacher, I've only got a little strength left. Let me tell you, it'd be amazing what God would do with your little strength, just your little prayer, your little dedication. Who knows who God will allow you to witness to when they get saved down the road? Who knows? A lot of times we give up on people and say, my goodness, they're too far away. They can never be reached. You can't tell the prodigal that in heaven this morning. He is in the hog pen. And he come to himself. And you know something? The Father was sitting there waiting on him. And he ran and kissed him. Let me tell you, God can use your little strength to do big things for His honor. In His glory. You say, preacher, I've just about prayed my last prayer. Keep a praying. Preacher, I about sung my last song. Well, just sang it with tears in your eyes. You preachers, you say, well, I'm just about out of preaching. Well, get with a great preacher. He'll give you something to preach. This morning, you may be here and faint-hearted, but I come to tell you, because He told me to tell you, He loves you today. He loves, and He knows where you are. Don't throw your hands up and quit. Serve God. Stay with the stuff that's worked for 2,000 years. Jesus on Calvary's cross. He said, you've not denied my name. You've kept my word. Now look what he says lastly. Not on this allegiance, but look at this assurance. Verse number 11. Look what he says. Young people, look in your Bible what he says. Older people, look what he says. Verse 11. Look at this assurance. Behold, I come quickly. Jesus hadn't changed his mind. Things are being displayed in front of us in this hour. You know why? Because it's a Bible forecast. This Bible's way ahead of the newspapers. Jesus is coming. By the way, when He comes, are you ready for His appearing? Are you ready? Have you been saved? I'm not asking you, are you a good person? I want to know, do you know Christ as your Savior? The assurance. Behold, I come quickly. Preacher, I thought they put Him on the cross. They did. Don't forget to read the whole story on the third day. He raised. Where is He now, preacher? He's on the right-hand side of the Father. You know what He's doing? He's praying for me and you. He's listening to our prayers and taking them to the Father. And He's a listening. And He's a looking. And I'm going to tell you this. Jesus is loving. Don't let nobody tell you any situation. Jesus loves you. It don't matter what you're going through, young person. Jesus loves you. And He died for you. Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning. Thou hast just a little strength. Look at this assurance. You'll see His priority of His return. Behold, look at the person of it. He said, I will. Look at the pace of it. He said, I come quickly. We'll preach in a few weeks. Next few weeks, I feel like. The message I started the other day on redeeming the time. But you better be sure this Bible just said, I come quickly. Miss Sherry's going to play it. I want to open this up.